We're in our 10th week of looking at Holy Spirit, and if you can think back to where we started, that the Holy Spirit really is the forgotten member of the Trinity. And it's interesting that this is the one thing that the church should be depending on more than anything. It was sent to be our helper, our advocate, our empower, the ability of God in our lives. And we have just ignored the Holy Spirit. And I'm hoping over these last 9 weeks, you guys have seen how important the Holy Spirit was to the early church, how important the Holy Spirit is to be to us, and that intimate relationship that each one of us is to have with the Holy Spirit. And it brought us to the gifts of the Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians 12:1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." And we've talked about this. For a lot of us, we grew up in church, but we're still ignorant to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's wrong. That's wrong. I mean, don't you think all churches should have the same heart as the Apostle Paul and not want people to be ignorant of the gifts of the Spirit? So we've been looking at the gifts of the Spirit, and in verse 7 of that same chapter in 1 Corinthians, Paul spells out what each of the gifts are. In verse 7, he says, "But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." So manifestation, again, just if we got new people here, manifestation means a revealing, something that is seen, right? So when the Holy Spirit manifests himself, it means that you can tangibly see God moving and that God's alive and God is working. So when you manifest something, it's a revealing of God in our midst. And what is it for? It's for profit. The Holy Spirit is for profit. It's not a negative. Holy Spirit is not negative. It's amazing how many Christians, when you bring up Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit or moving in the Spirit, all of a sudden they think it's something bad. It's not something bad. It's for profit. God wants to profit you, right? "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." So the Holy Spirit wills to distribute his gifts to individuals. Right? And it's our allowing, our union, our partnership with Holy Spirit that allows him to flow in our lives. So if the Holy Spirit's willing to manifest himself through individuals, the reason why he doesn't is because we're unwilling. Right? Because the Holy Spirit wills to do this in the church, right? So we are unwilling. You can stop God. Now, if he wanted to just be like the devil and just wreak havoc on you and just take over and force himself on you, he could, but that's not his nature. But we can stop a move of God by denying the Holy Spirit to flow through us. And we looked at these 9 gifts, and what we did is just to help us understand this better so that we're not ignorant concerning spiritual things. We categorize these, and there's 9 gifts in 3 categories, but it's all what? One Spirit, the same Spirit that's doing these things. And the first category was what? The revelation gifts, and that's what we're in right now. We looked at the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and today we're looking at the discerning of spirits. Then there's the second category, which are power or energy gifts, and this is where you find the gift of faith, the gifts of healing, and the working of miracles. And then the last category is inspiration gifts, and that's where you find prophecy, gift of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And we will cover all of these. So we've been looking at the revelation gifts, and again, the revelation gifts are what? The word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. The word of wisdom is the revealing of the prophetic future under the anointing of the Word of God. So in other words, God, through His Holy Spirit, gives you a word concerning the future. Right? And we went through the Bible and we looked at all these times that God did that in the Bible. Right? Not only through Jesus, but through many men, even men in the Old Testament. Right? Actually, all of the prophecies concerning Jesus was a word of wisdom. It was something to happen in the future. And that's the difference between the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. The word of wisdom is in the future. The word of knowledge is this. The word of knowledge is related to fact. If a thing is knowledge, then it's not a mystery. It's not something that's being revealed in the future. The gift of the word of knowledge deals with what exists, whether in the past or in the present. But this is still knowledge that an individual would not be able to get outside of God. He had no way of knowing it. You understand? So the Holy Spirit gives a word to an individual about something or somebody else or something. And what's all this for? For profit. To minister love, to minister healing, to minister whatever God wants to do in those areas. To manifest that God is real, right? That Jesus Christ is Lord. These all point to Jesus. So this is the word of knowledge, and this is something that is present or past tense. That's the difference between the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Today we're looking at the discerning of the spirits. Now this is, especially, it's for a lot of people because we don't spend a lot of time thinking about these things and stuff. This one might be a little weird to you, but God's weird. Right? God's not natural. He's supernatural. Whenever God really shows up, it should kind of freak you out a little bit, right? It should. I mean, when he showed up on Mount Sinai, you know, the people were afraid and thought they were all going to die, right? But Moses, because of his relationship with God, what did he say? He walked up into the glory of God. He's seen the glory of God. They've seen fear and wrath and torment. But the discerning of spirits is a believer is giving a supernatural ability to see and identify in the spiritual realm angels or demons through the discerning of spirits. One is able to identify the condition of the human spirit, whether it is good or evil. Finally, to see and identify the operating of the Holy Spirit. Now, all these definitions are man's attempt and my attempt to understand what these gifts are. There's nowhere in the Bible where you can go and it says, the word of wisdom is this, or the word of knowledge is this, or the discerning of spirits is this. So what we have to do is we have to look for areas in the Bible where these things took place and get our definition from those experiences. You understand? So if you hear someone with a different definition, who's to say one's right and one's wrong? Okay? I know that you don't usually hear pastors say that I know that I'm perfectly right on these definitions. That's called humility. I know you don't hear that in church very often. But I don't have all the answers, right? So as we look at these scriptures, as we look at these instances where the spirit realm was manifest and men was able to see that, and understand things that were going on in the spirit, that's how we get our definitions. That's how I do. So, first of all, what the discerning of spirits is not. Have anybody ever heard someone say, well, I think my spiritual gift is the spiritual gift of discernment? I've heard it many times. Many times. First of all, there is, and we're going to read it here in a second, there is no spiritual gift of discernment. Well, people like to say, I had the spiritual gift of judging people. That's what the spiritual gift of discernment. I discern that individual did that just to get attention. Or I discern that that individual gave that amount of money just so they can be praised in the church. Or I discern that person really isn't saved. Or I discern, you know, the motive. You're judging the motive behind an individual. You're judging people's intent in the mind. And all these things are in the soulish realm, in the mind, right? This is the discerning of the spirit of an individual, or the spirit that is operating in a place, okay? And this is supernatural. This is supernatural. This isn't calculating. This is all of a sudden something just comes in you, and there's a boldness, and you know that this is either good or this is evil, and it's got to go. And what will happen along with that, there will be a boldness of faith, of the gift of faith or whatever. If you got to cast something out or prophesy or whatever will come along with this, something will happen along with it. So what it's not, it's not, it has nothing to do with the realm of the mind. Some people think they have the gift of discernment, but there is no such gift. It is not the discerning of things, nor is it the gift of suspicion, right? How many wives think, I think my husband's got a devil just because he is in a bad mood? It's not suspicion. It's a spirit. Until you experience these things, it's hard to explain it. It's just all of a sudden there's just a knowing. And it becomes like faith where this is the truth and nothing can change me from it. When the spirit drops it into you. But there is no such gift. It is not the discerning of things, nor is the gift of suspicion. It is the discerning of spirits. So what's the purpose of this gift? You know, why would God want to show what's happening in the spiritual realm? Well, because it helps us in delivering the afflicted, the oppressed, and the tormented. These gifts are for our profit, right? And they are to profit, the profit for all. The Bible clearly teaches that people's afflictions can be caused by evil spirits. See, there's two ditches that people fall in concerning this. You have the one ditch where they say there's no evil spirits, there's no angels, there's none of that type of stuff, and that's one side of the ditch. Then you got the other side of the ditch where everything's a devil. Everything's an evil spirit. Everything. You know, as far as it goes in America, I don't think we find too many people that are possessed by the devil on the streets because we institutionalize them. We drug them. We dope them up. We do all this stuff. But talk to some third world missionaries. Talk to some people that are over where they don't have the medical facility, the mental health facilities like we do. Talk to them. Read some stories. Read some books by them. And to hear what they have experienced. But it's more than just evil spirits. It's angels. People see angels. It's knowing. Well, we're going to go through all this. See, minds are wrecked and driven by cruel spirits. Look at these instances that we find in the Bible. In Mark chapter 5, verses 1 and 5, it says, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken to pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones." So Jesus came across the Sea of Galilee, and Crazy Eddie came out. And right away, through the gift of the discerning of spirits, he discerned that this man was demon-possessed, right? And what did Jesus do? He cast the demons out of the man into the pigs, and the pigs were smart enough, you know, they ran off the cliff and jumped in the ocean or the lake and killed themselves. I mean, at least pigs are smarter than people. If you got a demon, you know, you get rid of it anyway, you know, know how. People will put up with it. But anyways, so Jesus, seeing that this man had an evil spirit, he cast him out. You know, he didn't spend hours and hours doing weird, putting the Bible on their head and doing all this stuff. No, he said, "Come out of them, the man," right? This isn't a circus freak show that we just have an event. You say come out of them, it's simple. You have the authority of God dwelling within you. Amen? Another instance is in Luke. Luke chapter 9, verse 37. Now it happened on the next day when he had come down from the mountain that a great multitude met him. Suddenly a man from the multitude cried out, saying, Teacher, I implore you, look on my son, for he is my only child. And behold, a spirit seizes him and suddenly cries out and convulses him so that he foams at the mouth and it departs from him with great difficulty, bruising him. So I implored your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. And as he was still coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and gave him back to the father. So here we see that Jesus, the discerning of spirits, they discerned that this child had a demon-possessed demon, and Jesus rebuked him and rescued the child. Now, a lot of people might say this. They might say, well, Jesus knew that they weren't really demon-possessed and that it was just a medical condition. And, you know, Jesus isn't a liar. He's not a deceiver. If this wasn't true, he wouldn't propagate that belief, right? See, this is why the discerning of spirits is so important. Because sometimes it can be a spiritual oppression on someone that causes something, right? But that's not all the time. We can't just put God in a box and say, well, this is what happens to a person when they're being oppressed by a spirit, and this is what happens when they just need a healing. No, you work in union with the Holy Spirit, and if the Holy Spirit reveals to you that this is a spiritual issue, a spiritual oppression, or something that the enemy is doing to an individual, then you pray that way. But if it is just chemical imbalance or things that are happening in the natural body that needs a healing or a miracle to take place in their life, then you pray that way. You understand what I'm saying? The power of speech is robbed. In Mark 9:25, when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit and saying to it, Death and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. So here we see that this deaf and dumb spirit was in this individual, and it was caused by what? A spirit. A spirit was doing this. And he said not to enter him no more. See, Jesus didn't always do this. I could pull up a whole bunch of other scriptures where people were healed and mighty works were done, and he didn't cast out any demons or anything like that. It's not always spiritual. You understand what I'm saying? So that's why you have to be in union with the Holy Spirit, and this is why this gift, this is the purpose of this gift, to understand these things. Limbs are twisted by spirits of infirmity. In Luke 13:16, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way rise herself up. And what did Jesus do? He rebuked the spirit, cast it out, and the woman, the daughter of Abraham, he said, was loosed from her infirmity. This is interesting. It should be interesting to you. Discovering servants of the devil. This is another purpose of the discerning of the spirits. So you know the spirit, the motive, and the spiritual motive behind an individual. This is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul in Acts 13, 9 and 10, then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. So he was spirit-possessed too. You're designed to be filled. You're designed to be spiritually possessed, right? You're either going to be possessed by God or sooner or later you're going to be possessed by the other guy. But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O full of deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease preventing the straight ways of the Lord? So Paul was operating in the gift of discerning of spirits. This was a fortune teller girl. He aids in stopping the plans. This next one is the fortune telling girl. He aids in stopping the plans of the devil. In Acts 16:16-18, it says, "Now it happened as he went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And she did this for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to her," said to the Spirit, look who he talked to, "turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out that very hour." So this girl was trying to raise herself up that she was able to prophesy and tell these things, the future and all these things, the same as Paul was, that was promoting Jesus Christ. And she was trying to hinder the gospel from being preached. And you notice that this isn't against the people. It's against the spirits behind the way the people are acting, right? He spoke to the spirit, not to the girl. The gift of the discerning spirit exposes error, seducing spirits, lying spirits, doctrines of devils, and damnable heresies. In 1 Timothy 4:1-2, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in a later time some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies, hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." So what is this? This is a word of wisdom that Paul gave Timothy, right? See, this is what's good about knowing these things. Your Bible should get a little bit more exciting. You can now read what Jesus did. You can read in the Old Testament. We even talk about the things that happened in the Old Testament. The discerning spirit. Joshua met the angel of the Lord. Abraham met three angels. Gideon met an angel. Elisha and Gildad was surrounded by the Syrian army. And his servant, you know, the one that ended up getting leprosy in the end because he had an unpure heart, he was like freaking out. He didn't know what to do. And Elijah was fine. And he was like, why are you okay? And he says, he asked the Lord to open his eyes. And he said, around that Syrian army was the army of the Lord with flaming chariots and horses around it. And what happened? God struck that whole Syrian army blind. And old preacher man and his sidekick leads them back to as prisoners of war. That was the discerning of spirits. Elisha was able to discern the Lord there. And he opened up the eyes of Gildad, and he was able to see it too. That's awesome. But now you know. See, these stories that you've always heard, you know, because we were ignorant to spiritual gifts, we didn't say, well, that's discerning of spirits. You know, that's a word of wisdom. That's a word of knowledge. I mean, this should be interesting to you guys. And then Peter, in 2 Peter 2:1, it says, "But there will be also false prophets among the people, even as there is false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction." See, there's a spirit. There's a spirit that causes heresies, causes false teachings, all these things. And do you know what that spirit is? It's the spirit of Antichrist. It's the spirit of Antichrist. John talks about it. 1 John 4:1-6. He said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are from of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is already now in the world." So the spirit of Antichrist. See, we always, you know, from the Left Behind series, we just concentrate on some dude that's going to show up and rule the world one day. I don't know all about all that, but I will tell you this, that the spirit of Antichrist is alive and well right now. And what the spirit of Antichrist is, a teaching, a belief system, anything that denies Jesus Christ, denies that he is the means of salvation, denies that it's through him and him alone that we are made righteous and acceptable before God. And there is a lot of Christian teaching that is Antichrist. If it makes you point to yourself, you must do this, this, and this if you want God to answer your prayers, if you want to be accepted by God, if you want to go to heaven one day, if it points to you, it's Antichrist. It should always be pointing to Jesus. False religions, all the false religions, I don't care if they believe in Jesus. I don't care if they say that Jesus was a great guy. I don't care what. If they're not totally dependent on Jesus, it's a heresy and it's a doctrine of devils. How about Judaism? Is that a doctrine of devils? No, because it points to Jesus. They just don't realize it. They don't have the revelation that all that Old Testament, all of the sacrifices, all of the festivals, all the feasts point to Jesus. It's all an image of Jesus. We've seen many of them. I've shared, preached many of them to you. I mean, the Emmaus Road, just going down that, the Ark. It's all pointing to Jesus. So Judaism, but you don't practice Judaism because Judaism doesn't acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Messiah, right? We don't practice the feasts. I know it sounds a lot of fun to have the feast and go through all what the Jewish people did and wear the thing on your head and all this stuff. That's just a shadow. Why would I come home from a long trip and I take a picture with my wife and my family with me on this long trip so I can remember them, have an image of them, and then when I get home from the trip, go into my bedroom, pull out that picture, and spend all night looking at the picture and talking to the picture and thinking about my family there when they're sitting out in the living room? That's what we do when we start trying to look at these Jewish festivals and trying to bring them into Christianity. No, why would you want to kiss a picture when you got your wife sitting right there? Right? Why would we want to screw around with the Old Testament festivals and the shadows when we got Jesus right here? Right? So those are just there's anything that takes your eye off Jesus is a doctrine of the devil. Some people do it out of ignorance, but some people do it on purpose. And that's why it's so important to have the discerning of spirits, right? Amen. Because there's some people that you can talk to and they'll receive teaching. There's other people that you just got to cut. They got a religious spirit and they've chosen that direction. Continuing in verse 4, it says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world." So who's in you? Christ is in you through the Holy Spirit, right? The same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in us. So it doesn't matter what we run into out there. It doesn't matter, you know, what bag of tricks they have, Moses threw down his staff, and the two magicians, Pharaoh's magicians, threw down their staffs too. And both of them, all three of them, turned into serpents, right? But Moses' serpent swallowed up the other two serpents. Then Moses reached down, picked up the serpent, and it became a staff again. That's awesome. And that was in the Old Covenant. So we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about the spiritual realm and spirits that are against the spirit of Christ. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So if you're pointing to Jesus and people don't want anything to do with that. If you're pointing to Jesus and his finished work and they're trying to point to something else, it's a spirit of Antichrist. And by this, you can know what is the spirit of God and the spirit of error. Also, through the gifts of the discerning spirits, we can have supernatural encouragement, deliverance, and direction. These are some great stories. Hebrews 13:1 says this to us, Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers. For by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. I'm telling you, read through the Bible, read through the book of Acts. See how much angels were working with the church. Right? Another scripture says, aren't angels ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation? See, this is where I'm going to lose a lot of you. Angels appear. People see angels. Angels are working behind the scenes on our behalf. Right? And in Mark 11:13, this is Jesus. And it says, and he, Jesus, was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered to him. You remember this? Jesus went out and fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. Satan tempted him, and it says that not only the spirit of Satan showed up, but angels came and served him and ministered unto him. Right? Luke 22:41-44. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone throw. This was in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before he was arrested. And he knelt down to pray, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So what did happen? An angel appeared and strengthened him. In John 20:11-12, but Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stood down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus was laying. Mary operated in the gift of discernment of the spirit. She discerned that she's seen into the spiritual realm, and she's seen the angels sitting at the head and at the feet. In Acts 5:17-20, then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of life. They were supernaturally rescued, delivered from prison by angels. Look at this. In Acts 8:26-29. Now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charged all of her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So what happened? An angel originally spoke to Philip and told him to go do this. How did he discern the angel? How did he see this angel? Through the gift of discerning of spirits. And we know what happened. He went and spoke. He went and spoke to the eunuch, shared with him what the prophet Isaiah was talking about, that he was talking about Jesus Christ. The eunuch was converted, was baptized, went back into Ethiopia and spread the gospel there. And Philip was translated just disappeared and taken thousands of miles away. Wouldn't it be awesome to start walking in this stuff like the early church did? Well, you know where it first starts? By believing. Acts 10:3. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming and saying to him, Cornelius. We talked about this story a couple weeks ago. This is Cornelius. You know, he was a man that worshiped God, the true God, and this angel showed up and told him to send men to Joppa to get Peter, right? And he would come and speak the words of life to him, show them the way of salvation. And how was this done? An angel showed up. Do you know there's stories happening over in the Middle East of Muslims that are just seeking God and having angels, visions show up? Andrew Womack gives this testimony that there was this business, one of his partners in his ministry had owned this business. And he allowed them every year, once a year, to pay all of his employees and have him come in and preach to them for an hour. And he'd pay him for that hour. And if they didn't want to listen, they didn't have to listen. But he did this every single year. Well, he came out of that facility after preaching, and there was a receptionist in the front. And he introduced himself, and he says, I didn't see you in there. She goes, no, I had to stay up here and man the phones while it was going on. She goes, who are you? And he says, well, I'm a preacher of Jesus Christ. And she goes, you're the man. And he didn't know what the man was, but he goes, you're right, I am the man. And she goes, no, you don't understand. I'm a Hindu, and I was praying at night, and I said, God, if you're real, there has to be more than what I'm doing here. And she said, a ball of light showed up, and right there when I was praying, and it was pulsating, and it says, tomorrow I will send a man that will tell you who I am. And he led the woman to the Lord. That's awesome. Well, you're sitting there thinking, well, I don't believe that. Well, I'm just going to say it. It sucks to be you. Peter was rescued by an angel. Not only were all the apostles rescued by an angel, but Paul was rescued by an angel. They were so accustomed to the discerning of the Spirit, they thought that it was Peter's own angel that was knocking at the door. You know this story? Remember Peter? He was taken in, and they were going to kill him the next day. And what was he doing? He was up all night, biting his fingernails, crying, pleading to God, rescue me, all this stuff. No, an angel shows up, and he's shackled between two guards, and it says that the angel had to smote him, had to kick him in the ribs to wake him up. That's how stressed out Peter was about being killed the next day. And Peter was still asleep because he thought it was a dream happening. And then all of a sudden, he's following this angel, and the doors are open, the shackles came off, the doors were open, and he found himself outside, and he thought, well, it wasn't a dream. And so he goes back to where the disciples were praying, the mother of Jesus praying, all these people were praying. And Peter, in Acts chapter 12, 13, and 15, it says, and Peter knocked at the door of the gate. A girl named Rhoda, came and answered. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open up the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, you are beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, it is his angel. This is how accustomed they were to angels. Most of us we just read this stuff through and don't even think about it. But they were so accustomed to angels that they thought, oh, it must be. What's so funny about this whole situation is, doesn't this represent us so well? They're in there praying all night long. God, do something for Peter. Get Peter out of there. Do it. Send a miracle. Do all this. And then when Peter's knocking on the door, they're saying, oh, you're crazy. You're nuts. And then finally when she went stop, well, it must just be his angel out there. Is that how we are? Thank God for his grace. So this is the discerning of spirits. These are how things, This is how the discerning of spirits operates. And there might be other ways. Like I said, my definition might not be perfect. There might be other ways that he operates, but this is what I see through Scripture, and it's amazing. Do you know how many times angels probably intervened in your life, and you were not aware of it, right? And he talks about people actually talk with angels, and they weren't aware of it, right? But through the discerning of spirits, we can be made aware of it, and we can be made aware when someone is being attacked by disease or someone's being attacked by a spirit, right? Both of them are no good. And we can be aware if teaching is a teaching a doctrine of devils, or is it the doctrine of Christ? Right? That's pretty simple. If they're not pointing to Jesus, it's not the gospel of Christ, right? So how about you? I don't know how many testimonies we're going to have of this, but I know that there's a few people that have had instances in their life where they've seen angels or had been ministered to. Or is there anybody here? Okay, I got you. I'm gonna share something with you that I experienced. Now, again, I don't know if this falls into the definition of discerning of spirits, but I was very much awakened to the spiritual realm. I had three instances happen in my life. One instance was I was dreaming. I was dreaming, and for some reason, I was in Africa. I didn't know exactly what the country was, but I'm guessing it was Africa. And two women came into my office. Again, I have no idea. If you guys have an interpretation of this, let me know. I have no idea what it's about. I never even thought about going to Africa. But two women came into my office, and I had a desk here. They were on the other side of the desk, and then I had a desk shelf behind me. On the desk shelf behind me, there was a picture, and it was a witch doctor. And the witch doctor had this white paint on its face, okay? And I looked at that picture, and when I moved to look back at the women, one of the women, that white paint that was on his face, transferred onto her face. And so I seen it, and I went like this, and the demon manifest that was in her. And so I came around the table, and I'm saying, in the name of Jesus, you come out of her. All this, backed her out into the hallway, and all of a sudden she jumped on me and starts choking me. Now this is where it gets crazy. I wake up, I'm awake now, and I'm choking. And I'm going, in the name of Jesus. And it disappeared. And what was so awesome about it is that I figured I'd be like shaken and just terrified, and I had perfect peace. And then shortly after starting the church here, I was laying in bed, and I was awake this time. And I felt something come up the end of my bed. Ain't this fun stories? Come up the end of my bed and lay on top of me. And when it laid on top of me, I couldn't move. And I just said, in the name of Jesus, you get out of here. And it was gone. See, and then the third thing, again, this time I was awake. I don't know why it's always happening in bed. But I was sleeping with my arm under a pillow like this. And something grabbed my hand. This gave you good sleep tonight, huh? But it was holding my hand like this down. And it wasn't like I just went to bed and this happened. It was like I was awoken in the middle of the night. And I couldn't move my hand. Again, I just said, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And it was gone. So, and I could pull my arm out and all that. But see, I discerned that this was happening to me in the spiritual realm, right? I discerned these things, but along with that discernment came a boldness. I was not afraid. I wasn't terrified. I knew what to do, and I went to sleep. I had no issue sleeping, right? Because God provides in these gifts for us. And there's no reason to be afraid. We read that. The spirit that's in us is greater than the spirit that's in the world. So that's something that the only thing I can think of on those last, I don't know anything about the dream, what that was all about, but those last two, I think it was just intimidation. We were just started the church and stuff like that, and it could get me off preaching Jesus. It could get me on some goofy stuff, or it could just be like, man, if this is what it's going to be like, I don't want nothing to do with this. But God is greater. Amen? How about somebody else? Tim, you raised your hand, and then come on up. Teresa's downstairs, huh?
I guess it goes in discerning of spirits. It wasn't actually, I mean, I was part of it, but it was when I worked over in Auburn at a toner remanufacturing place, and my foreman was telling me about a situation where a friend of his wife's, and it had to do with healing with possible breast cancer and so on like that. And, you know, so I didn't even know this person, had not met them, blah, blah, blah. And anyways, I'm standing there in my workbench doing my job, and we got this wall, I mean, the big building like this, and the whole wall up there in front of us, my bench is just, I mean, it's, we painted it white. And I'm standing there working, and it's like all of a sudden on the wall, the Holy Spirit started speaking. And, you know, he brought that woman to my mind, which, like I said, I didn't know who she was. And he starts this checklist down the wall. This that's happening to them is not for me. I mean, it was affecting her, her kids, her husband, work, all that. And I just saw God just going down the wall saying, that's not for me. That's not for me. That's not for me. And there was about seven checks down the wall. And I'm like, you know, this is the first time. So, I mean, when he says, you know, sometimes you sort of, you freak out a little bit. It's like, yeah, God, but what am I supposed to do? Well, the thing was, I was supposed to go pray for her to be healed. And I'm like, I don't know her. How do I get with her? Blah, 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 stuff like that. But it just, you know, it was the Holy Spirit. I mean, right. You know, and other than, like you said, it's hard to explain other than experience. It's like the Holy Spirit is, he's not trying to drop kick you to the field goal line, okay? He's down there, and he's getting a hold of you, and he's going, hey, I got something for you to do. I have something for you to do. You know, he doesn't come along, and he doesn't say, like, hey, get your hind end. He doesn't do that. He's not pushy. He's not rammy. He's gentle. He's calm. He's confident. And he's showing me this stuff, and I'm like, and then finally, you know, I get convinced, okay, I'll go do it. Well, it took me 2 weeks to get a meeting with the lady because her husband wouldn't believe that a guy was going to come pray for them and take time off from work. He figured I was a salesman. And so when I got in, I showed him, I had this little briefcase thing. And I came in, and the guy was like, I got suckered. He's a salesman. Yeah, I sold him Jesus. But, you know, long story was she was healed. She ended up having both breasts removed, and I was... Because that was the thing that God was like showing me. The enemy was taking part of what God had created her as a female. And that was what all those checks were with this. No. None of that is of me. And we just had one here a bit ago of a person. I guess I'm not supposed to tell that one because it just left. So I'll just end there. But, you know, when the Holy Spirit gives you that discerning like that, I mean, don't be scared. I mean, fear will try to attack you, but just walk in it. Just do it one step at a time. And he won't push you, but he will lead you. And you'll be blessed by it. It's just impossible not to be. Thank you, Jesus.
You gonna share? I don't want to drag you up here.
This story isn't about me. It's about a guy that I met a few years ago. Bob and I went to, some of you have heard this before, but I'll say it again. Bob and I went to North Carolina to help Ambassadors to the Nations pack Christmas boxes. Like I said before, it was one of the best vacations I ever had. But Andrew Womack was there, and we would work during the day, and at night we'd listen to Andrew. And there was other ministers there, and Andrew had no problem saying, go see these other people. And this one pastor, he was from North Carolina, and his name was Bobby Ray, very redneck name, but very sweet guy. He told how he had the gift of the healings. And Bob kept pushing me, you need to go get prayed for, because I had been struggling with fibromyalgia for a long time. And
now, what's fibromyalgia?
Well, if you don't know what that is, they say it affects your nerves. All I know is I didn't sleep. And by not sleeping, I meant there would be days that I would not sleep at all. And what it did to me, was you don't get that restful, deep sleep, and your muscles don't ever relax. And so the longer you go without sleeping, your muscles get tighter and tighter, and it just, you're in pain, continually in pain. And so he says, you need to go up and get prayed for, and this was at night. And I said, okay, I will, tomorrow. So it wasn't during the prayer lines I went up there. I went and saw him at his booth. All these other people had, like, booths that you could go and see, and they had tapes, and they had books, and, you know, you could get help from other people other than Andrew. So I went to talk to him, and I told him, he says, what's the problem? I said, I need prayer. I need healing. And he says, what's the problem? And what do you want prayer for? And I said, fibromyalgia. And he started talking to me, and first of all, he says, well, you've got a problem here, and I can feel something here. And I didn't know it then, but I was getting pneumonia. And but being like most people, I can't ask God to heal everything, just the worst thing on me. So I asked for that. And he told me, he said, fibromyalgia, arthritis, things of that nature is usually spiritual. And he said, I don't want you to feel like you're possessed, you're oppressed. And I said, I believe it. I believe it's spiritual. And so he started telling me about this and that what he was going to do. And basically, he just put his hand over my head, and he said, oh, there it goes. And that was it. It was no come out of her in the name of Jesus or anything like you hear. But he was very quiet, and he just, oh, there it goes. Well, I didn't realize then, because I was coughing my lungs out, and I was sick for the next month because I didn't ask him to pray for the sickness that was coming on me. But after I got rid of the pneumonia, I realized that I had been healed. And I'm sleeping every night, and the pain is gone. So he definitely could discern spirits.
Right. Amen. Yeah? What?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of how to do this really quick. But there's no doubt in my mind that it was the operation of discerning of spirits in this moment in my life. Okay, so I don't think I'll get emotional, but feel free to edit this out. How do I say it? Just come on and say it. A few years back, somebody got a hold of me. I'm just going to say it. It's my brother. He lives in Tennessee. Mm. Well, he's been married for a year longer than me, and sounds like a generality, but this marriage sucks. It has for as long as I can remember. You know, hours on the phone, talking, whatnot, pouring his heart out. How many knows that I'm a little biased toward my brother versus the other side? So my heart goes out to this kid. I love him. You know what it's like, right? Anyway, he calls me up and he says, there's a situation going on. And he owns a business. He's got one employee. He's a custom jeweler, and my brother is. And he has usually a couple of sales gals or whatever in there. Well, he had hired a gal or whatever, and he had something was different about this person, and it looked like, let's just say, his love tank. There's references in marriage books I've heard where we have our love tanks, and is your love tank filled, and things of that nature. Well, his marriage was rough, and both of their love tanks, however you want to say that, were empty. I mean, neither one was it goes both ways in that marriage and in every marriage, but it was just that. I said, you know what, I shouldn't say I always said this, but I know I said it at least once or twice and thought it. And I said, the second that the woman that comes in crosses his path, because he has been hurt so long, and so has she, there's this closed heart. The second the right person, the woman comes along that starts affirming him verbally, because this kid is the hardest worker I know. And he has come from hell, gone through hell in his life, and has really made something amazing of himself. And he's very, you know, he talks derogatory about himself and stuff. He's always struggled. But I said, I don't want to see that day, but it's going to happen. Well, this was that day. He panicked. He's like, we talked on the phone. He came up, drove 600 miles up here. We met at the, where else better to talk? The Harvest. So I said, we're going to this coffee shop. I'm just going to listen. I'm not saying I was right. I'm gonna acknowledge this right now. I had a whatever colored glasses because my brother. I love my brother. I know his heart. My heart is for him. This is no surprise, you know. But he's panicking, kind of like I don't know. This is crazy, and this goes on for a couple hours. This conversation, and all I hear is, this person is showing him what he has never, giving him what he has never received before. Just verbal affirmation, you're an amazing man type stuff, you know, just stroking his ego. And I'm like, yeah. I was like, dude, I knew this was coming. I said, I knew it. And I was just listening. And now I might sound like a total weirdo for saying this, or a jerk or whatever, like, hey, you know better than that. You needed to, whatever. Well, it was 20, you know, however many years, almost 20 years of this, hearing this. And finally it's like, yeah, I mean, am I saying this is right to do and all this stuff? No, it's not. It's not. It's not. A million times no. But I'm on the outside listening. I'm like, yeah. I was like, this is it, man. I was like, I knew this was going to happen. And I kind of, actually, after the conversation, I didn't really give him any advice. I was quiet. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to listen. There's something about this little conversation taking place that he drove 600 miles. He's looking for help. And he always knows who to run to, me and Mom. And you know, it's one of those things where it's like you see a pattern. I don't know how many different ways we can tell you, like, we try to give him all the means to help him in his marriage and his life and everything, and always point him to Jesus, and he's a believer. But it's just, there's this, you know, you wonder, how long is this going to last? And anyways, me and Mom talked on the side and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, Mom, I'm like, are you shocked? And she's like, no. And I don't know that he talked to her or whatever, but this is the weird part. Not really weird, but this is where the discerning spirits showed up. He had his laptop. He goes, do you want to see her? And I'm like, all right. And, like, there was videos and stuff, you know, like, I don't know why. She had a couple kids and stuff, but they came into the store and whatever, and you want to, like, it was a very strange, to talk about it now, it seems very strange, but anyway, saw the face of this person. I don't know how to explain it, but the most unbelievable feeling rose up in me, and I saw this for what it, I saw the spirit behind this person.
Right, it wasn't because what she looked like.
Right, it wasn't what she looked like. I was not looking at him, because if it was what she looked like, she's an attractive woman. But all I saw was the spirit that was operating through her. And I have no idea, but Pastor Chad said it right away. I was not going to share anything. I was like, But he said it right off the bat when I had the thought, like, should I share? And then right when he said something about a boldness will rise up in you. And again, I'm going back to, I'm kind of biased. I love my brother, you know, all this stuff. I'm not saying he should leave his wife for some other chick. That's not what I'm getting at. But there's this, you know, my heart is to see him okay. But that, it was the most clear picture of this, what was going on here. And I looked him straight in the face, and I'm like, I mean, I walked around the room, I'm like, I don't know what to do. There is this raging inferno of whatever going on inside of me. And I'm like, I looked at my mom, and her eyes just, I mean, both of our eyes were like saucers. We saw this at the same time. And it wasn't anything weird, it wasn't anything going on. It was just this person. We saw this, the spirit behind it. I'm like, Mom, did you sense that? Did you get that? And she's like, yes. And I'm like, what do I do? And I just walked up to my brother. I said, I don't know how you're going to receive this, but no, run. This is wrong. I was like, Tim, I sat there and listened to you for a couple hours. I was like, when I saw, there is something else going on here. This is a spiritual thing that's going on here. It's dangerous. Run. Get out as fast as you can. Whatever you have to do, get out. Red flags everywhere, dude. Like, lights going off, whistles, bells. I don't know how else to tell you. And I would not have believed, because I'm Mr. Nice Guy, you know. I don't want to ruffle any feathers, but a boldness rose up in me when I experienced this, and I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt, this was demonic. There was a demonic spirit operating through this person. Now that sounds weird. Whatever, I don't care. Well, fortunately, he listened. Thank God.
Amen.
But it cost him this little, whatever it was, cost thousands and thousands of dollars. But he would, along with me, say he was glad he listened. The funny thing is, months prior, I didn't know about this, his one employee called my mom. When everything goes wrong in that shop, they call my mom. Pray for us. We're having whatever. But the employee is not, he's like family to us, and we've known him for a while. But anyways, I don't believe he's a believer, but he knows where to run to, where to turn to. And he called my mom and said, pray, something evil is in this place. Something evil has come into this store. And that's when that person walked into that store. Come to find out, the same type of thing had happened numerous times. It was like, I don't know what illustration. But it had happened. And later I realized that this was the operation of the discerning of spirits. Both me and my mom at the same time experienced this. And it was this, again, I can't think of any other time, but it was so clear and precise, and a holy boldness rose up in me, and I just went with it and attacked it head on, not a person, but the spirit behind. Now, do I want to see that person? I hope that person is freed from whatever is operating in their lives. I don't know where that person is. But I just praise God that my brother. Traveled 600 miles. And he was freed through this. So.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
So edit as you need to.
That's good. Well, just because of time, I'm going to stop right there. We have other people. We have a person in this congregation. They're in another ministry right now working, but that has many times come up and told me after the service that she has seen angels in the service and in her home during prayer and stuff like that. And, you know, if you don't believe this stuff, that's okay. But I choose to believe. And as you can see, it rescues, it heals, it delivers, it does exactly what we read in the Bible. Amen? And so we said that we've been doing this because we want to be a church that sees people healthy, healed, marriages restored, delivered from destructive patterns, all of these things. And the only way that can be done, it can't be done by the power of man. It has to be done by the power of God. And that's what these gifts are for. And Paul writes to us and tells us that we are to desire, we are to covet, we are to lust after spiritual gifts. We are supposed to lust after them. We're supposed to be lusting after those things. After we go through each one of these, we do a time of activation where those that desire to be used by the Holy Spirit, desire for the gifts of Spirit to operate, that we just take time to pray and say, yes, I'm open, Holy Spirit, to you, to be used by you. So I would ask, if you're interested in that, stand up. If whoever's standing up next to you, put your hand on them. Just come together, stand up. This one's a little, we don't want to be seeing demons and stuff, huh? But just stand up, and we're going to pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you desire for us to be spiritual. You desire for us to see in the spiritual realm. You desire for us to deliver and stop the plans of the enemy. You desire for us to be edified and encouraged through seeing angels and the manifestation of the spiritual world. You desire for us to know how to pray in certain situations, to understand if this is a spiritual issue or a physical issue, Lord. You desire for that in our life, and you have given us your gift. You have given us the gift of discerning of spirits, Lord. You have given us the gift of the word of knowledge. You have given us the gift of the word of wisdom. And right now, you know the hearts of each individual here. And if we long, we covet, we desire to be used by you. We are open to be used by the Holy Spirit. So right now, we just give you freedom, Holy Spirit, to operate and move in our life. You are the gift giver. You are the one that works through us and in us. And we just ask that when we need to operate in the discerning of gifts, that we acknowledge that that gift is available to us now because of Jesus Christ sending you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we receive that now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Charis New Testament Church. For more information or to contact us, go to www.charisntc.org. And remember, you are deeply loved, highly favored, and destined to reign in Christ Jesus.